Detriments to Crime. That's the title of this message. Detriments to Crime. Now, God knows mankind because He created man. We studied in the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus last time. We're in the 22nd chapter. If you don't punish crimes that are capital by capital punishment, you have no basis for your government. You have no basis for your government. If your government does not protect you from the criminal element in society, then your government has failed you. It is an illegitimate government. We look in America today and we see the worst crimes that have ever been in the history of this country, I believe. Among society, there is no detriment to crime. We see that people, district attorneys and things throughout America, are set in place by George Soros and a few others to basically break society. It's destroying the country. When you are turning criminals out on the street to be criminals again, there's something wrong with that. When you got attorney generals and district attorneys that won't prosecute crime, you have a illegitimate state because it's not protecting the people. When you have capital murders, when you have crimes constant by the same people over and over again, and then you put them out on the street, first of all, if they commit a capital crime, they should be executed. I watched a video the other day down in the Los Angeles area, actually in Bellflower area where I used to go to school, where I went to college, where I went to medical school, where I went to the seminary. I watched this guy steal four cars. They finally got him. Finally stopped him. He stopped one time. He stole. This is the second car. This is the third car that he's stealing. And he goes and he pulls into the parking lot and he begins to steal a van. What we might call a air-conditioned van, so they can take refrigerated van. He got in there and started hot-wiring it, and a cop pulled right up behind him, the police officer, and he got in there, and they didn't shoot him. Now, he's endangering people's lives all over. He's caused a lot of wrecks and injuries already. They did not shoot him when they had a chance to do it. He just did what he did, just totally ignoring them. This is an illegal alien. And he takes that van and rams and knocks the police car out of the way without him ever shooting him, without him ever doing anything to him. And he takes off. And he runs out until the wheels run off of it and it's burning up. Then he runs to a people's house and he steals their car. And he does the same thing to that. They finally get him to the service station and stop him. This is what he does. For kicks or whatever. He steals cars. He's done this all the time. He's an illegal alien. This guy is a rascal. But they arrest him and probably some district attorney puts him back out on the street again. People that have committed murders, they put them out on the street, just turn them loose on society. The criminal element. The criminal element must be deterred. Something must be done to stop the criminals from wanting to be criminals. I had a cousin by marriage. And he committed a small crime. The crime was that he went to visit this loose woman. That was his girlfriend. And they left the windows. They didn't pull the shades in the windows while they were together. They arrested him. They put him on a chain gang in Arkansas. And he didn't like that chain gang. He finally ran away and came out to California, and he said no matter what he did, no matter how bad things were, he wasn't going back to Arkansas ever again. And he wasn't going to do... This was bad, he said. This is really bad. It's a deterrent to crime, people. Now, what happened there that day would not be a crime at all today. You could do that out on the street, and nobody's going to say anything today. Because society is so reckless and just absolutely uncontrolled. Look what happened with Black Lives Matter for a whole year, burning down cities, destroying police cars and everything, but they're just peaceful protesting. How many people's businesses were destroyed, their lives were destroyed, and yet it's just the peaceful protest. They went into some areas like Idaho and even through here where people wear guns. They were very quiet about their protest, and they went on down the road because they know the people weren't going to put up with that. There is a deterrent to crime. That was a deterrent to crime even here and in Idaho and different places. It's a deterrent to crime. When they see that they might be punished for what they're doing, they won't get by with what they're doing. They won't do it. If they're punished for it and they put in jail and stay there for a long time or executed, if they're executed, they're not going to do it anyway. They're not going to have a chance. But how many people should be executed out there? And yet now we say that capital punishment is inhumane. According to the Bible, the way you kill somebody, that's the way you ought to be killed. Slashing the guy in Idaho that killed these people, these students. See what happened to him. The people that shot, the young people that shot other people and killed 10, 12, 8, 20 people. But they're mentally ill. They're evil. They are criminals, elements. No matter what age they were criminals. That has to be punished. The Bible taught when man was 12 years old, he was responsible. He was going to be a citizen. If he wasn't a citizen, he was ostracized, even among the American Indian people. I'm going to tell you something. If you raised a child in an Indian tribe out there in the wilds, out there in the heathen wilds, so-called, and that child turned out to be a bad boy, they didn't have capital punishment back there. You know that? They basically didn't kill their own people. You know what had to happen to that boy? It was capital punishment, all right. But you know who carried out the capital punishment? His own mother and father had to kill him or her. You brought it in this world, you're responsible for it. I feel sorry for some of these parents that have these children that go out whether they're 20 years old or 15 or 30 years old, and they go out and they kill a bunch of people. See what I did wrong. There's a personal responsibility to everyone. And if you decide to endanger somebody else according to the Word of God, then you are responsible for it. You're responsible. PL and PD and death. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Foot for foot, hand for hand, wound for wound, burn for burn, bruise for bruise, tooth for tooth. You knock somebody's tooth out, your tooth gets knocked out. Boy, that would stop a lot of these barroom brawls, wouldn't it? Now let's go back into some basic rules that God sets for government. For a government to be legitimate, these are the rules that ought to be set. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. 5 to 1 and 4 to 1. If you want to steal one and slaughter somebody's sheep, you're going to go to jail. You're going to go into servitude until you pay for it. That would stop stealing, wouldn't it? A few years ago here in Fish Lake Valley, they arrested a man down here. He had escaped out of Oregon, come down here, and decided he was going to wreak havoc on Fish Lake Valley. And he was stopped out here at a big business and started stealing things. Well, the deputy here arrested him. They took him over and put him in jail. And he got another convict in there, told him, he said, act like you're crazy, act like you're sane, and they'll just ship you out of here, and you'll go down to Las Vegas, and they'll turn you out. So he started screaming, hollering, acting like he was nuts. And the judge sent him down there, and then he got out. He went back up to Oregon and stole a car and stabbed one into a car lot, said he wanted to drive the car, you know, see if he liked it, test drive it. He took it, he went out, and he told the guy that was with him, the salesman, get out. Guy wouldn't get out, he stabbed him and pushed him out the door. Chased him all over the country. Finally, when they finally caught him, he just walked out, put his hands up. I'll do it again when you turn me out. Yeah. These rules, if you don't follow them, you have anarchy in society. Anarchy. If a thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. In other words, if you kill somebody when you're breaking in their house, if you kill that person that breaks into the house, there's no crime. That's not a crime. It's not a crime. You watch on television, you watch people that have been robbed over and over and over again. They're being financially devastated. They finally get a gun. And when somebody comes in, they shoot them and kill them or wound them. Because society has not done its job. That's why. Society owes the debt of justice to its people, to its constituents. But if the sun has risen on him, and there will be but guiltiness on his account, and he shall surely make restitution if he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall pay double. Two times. You steal something, pay double for it. People going to jail nowadays just to get their teeth fixed, to have operations and health care. Their families, they get to visit their family, they have family day, they come in there and they visit with them, all this kind of stuff. It's this. The system is upside down. Right is wrong and wrong is right. That's when you get criminals running the state. Criminals running the state. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether a donkey or ox, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or a vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. He shall make restitution. If your animals get into somebody's land and eat the produce off of it, you pay for it. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes, so that a stacked grain or standing grain in the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall make restitution. Arsonist. Arsony. You go and you burn a building down. There's places all up and down 395 in California down there that people have gone and burned the property down. If they caught them, they wouldn't do anything to slap their hands. Maybe not even slap their hands. A good boy. Good boy, go out and do it again. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. The thief will pay double. If the thief is not caught, and then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on the neighbor's property. Maybe he said it was stolen and it wasn't. For every breach of that trust, whether it is for ox or for donkey or for sheep or for clothing or for any lost thing about which one says, this is it. The case of both parties shall come before the judges, and he whom the judges condemn shall pay double for his neighbor. There's a woman called Karen, I can't remember her last name, in the state of California, that got into a real estate scam, and she scammed Marilyn's family pretty bad. But she scammed $900 million from people. They put her in jail for a little while and turned her loose. And then she went bankrupt so the people couldn't civilly sue her for anything. They lost $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, even churches and stuff had done that. The telltale sign was that she was offering more interest than anybody else was on your money. But your money was not secure. For every breach of the trust, whether it be for ox or for donkey or for sheep, for clothing or any law saying about which one says, in this case both parties shall come before, and that the judges condemn, the one who is condemned shall pay double. What if she had to pay two times $900 million? $1.8 billion. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey or an ox or sheep or any animal to keep for him, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. But, strong adversative conjunction. But if it has actually been stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If you're taking care of the animal, it's stolen while in your care. Remember the movie True Grit? Where the horse was stolen. She said, you're responsible. You're responsible. You had care of that. I'm not responsible. A thief got it. He said, you go to him. He said, you were responsible. He knew he was responsible. That was just a movie, but he knew he was responsible. It was on a court of law, a case. He was responsible. He finally ended up paying everything she wanted, in the movie, that is. And the real Rooster Cogburn was my great-great-grandfather, by the way, Samuel Eichard Paul, the first Indian marshal in Indian Territory and the first citizen, the first American Indian citizen of the United States. You can look that up on the shadow of an Indian star. If it's all torn to pieces, let him bring its evidence, and he shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it is injured or dies, while it is his owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. Now, if you borrow somebody's tractor and you tear it up, you shall fix it. As simple as that today. Back then, these donkeys and these oxen were John Deere's and Alice Chalmers and Massey Ferguson's and Kubota's. That's what they had. If its owner is with it, he shall not make restitution if it is hired and it came for its hire. If you hire out to do a man's field, then you're responsible while you're plowing. If you're there and your animal gets hurt or injured or your tractor gets tore up and you're out there working on the animals on a neighbor's field or digging a septic system or whatever you're doing with your tractor, you're getting paid for it. You fix your tractor if it gets broke. You fix the donkey. You fix the ox. Whatever. It's pretty fair, isn't it? Wouldn't society be a lot better if they followed these little simple rules? If its owner is with it, he shall not make restitution if it's hired. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay dowry for her to be his wife. You just don't go out and seduce a woman and then say bye. Now remember, these men had several wives here at this period of time. If her father absolutely refused to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the dowry of virgins. You shall not allow sorcerers to live. Witchcraft. You shall not allow sorcerers to live. Plain as that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Some of these modern prophets and things would be long gone when their prophecies didn't work fulfilled if we still followed this law. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be utterly destroyed. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Remember, a stranger comes to you, don't wrong him. Don't rob him. That's what was going on down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. You read the book of Jasher about that, what was going on down there. The stranger come in there, and they'd rob him of everything he did, and then torture him to death. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. That's what Jesus said that the Pharisees and the scribes were doing. If you afflict him at all, and he does not cry, and he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry. You're in trouble because now God's against you. And my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. Now that's what happened in Jerusalem, wasn't it? When they condemned Jesus on false charges, they got the axe, the sword. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him any interest. Don't act like a bank to one of my people. And if you take your neighbor's cloak or pledge, you are to return it for him before the sun sets. This is exactly what it's talking about in the New Testament. When Jesus told about, was speaking the parables and speaking all the different stories that he told. This is where it all goes back to. For that is his only covering, and it is cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it's come about that when he cries out to me, that I will hear him, for I am gracious. You aren't, but I am. You shall not curse God, nor curse the ruler of your people. And this is what Ahab and Jezebel did to Naboth. How they took his vineyard. They accused him of cursing God. And he did not. They cursed God. You shall not delay the offering from your harvest. Your vintage, the firstborn of your sons, you shall give to me. You shall do the same thing with your oxen and with your sheep, and it shall be with his mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. Or redeem it. It's mine. You redeem it. Because I have redeemed all of you. This is the type of the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, that God redeemed all of us in his Son, Jesus Christ. God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that were under the curse of the law. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is all types of that people. And you shall be holy men to me, therefore you shall not any flesh torn in pieces in the field, and you shall throw it to the dogs. God even provided for the dogs, didn't he? If an animal is killed in the field, you take the animal's flesh, you don't eat it yourself, you take it and feed it to your dogs. God's taking care of the dogs. It becomes dog food. That's what happened to Jezebel when she became dog food. Ahab's blood became dog food. Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Help us understand today that if we don't follow these rules, we have chaos. We don't have a government. We have anarchy. We have a mess. Father, please use it for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.